introverted noise.
Hurry up, Daddy.
Let's do it.
To the right, 5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he pitches
look at
it
this.
To Mo Williams. Touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me!
All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Climbing the Pocket podcast. I am your host, Jason Brown. You can find me on Twitter at BrownJason. And this is a very special episode for us. It is episode 100, which is crazy. As JR put on Twitter a little bit earlier today, it's crazy that, you know, what started off with just a quick conversation in a group message turned into this, which then turned into a website and a podcast we've then done this many episodes of. So just before we jump into everything, I want to say thank you to all the listeners, all the people who've contributed to the podcast, the website, I guess the haters too, the people who, you know, get angry at us, call us the podcast brigade, whatever. Everybody, thank you for being along with us for this ride thus far. And with all that, I guess, said out of the way, let's jump right into it. Let's get to it. So, JR, my man, I know you got to be busy right now. How are things going? How you doing? How you holding up?
I'm good, man. You know, the big days on Saturday, but I'm good, man. I'm not nervous or anything. I rarely get nervous about stuff.
You say that right now.
It is what it is at this point.
Okay. Well, I mean, obviously you got, you know, more important things, I think than like the NFL draft or football, you know, on your immediate horizon there. But are you working on anything, any projects, anything going on to keep your mind busy between now and the big day?
Everything is about the win right now.
You're a smart man. Starting it off on the right foot. Good stuff. Mr. Gorham. I mean, I guess I feel like it's like a month of big things for the Climbing the Pocket crew right now. How are things going in the new crib with the new internet, new TV?
Things are great, man. Finally getting settled in. We've been here about a week. And then next Sunday is my 1 year wedding anniversary. So a lot of exciting stuff going on.
And I noticed you didn't say anything about that last piece there. So what's up with that TV? Huh?
It hasn't happened yet, but I'm working on it.
Okay, work on it. Keep working on it.
Like I said, it's my 1 year wedding anniversary next Sunday. So
there you go. I like how you're doing it. And you know, as I told you guys, the reason I came on a little bit late today is that I was trying to get the kids to bed. And you know, before I go to Yinka here, I'm just gonna let Zoe say hi since she snuck out of her room to come down because she heard I was podcasting. So hold on 1 second. Zoe, say hi.
Hi.
All right. Do you guys hear? Hold on.
Who is that, Daddy? Who is it?
It's the guys from the podcast.
Oh.
Oh. Okay. So can you say goodnight?
Goodnight.
All right. So go on up. Yeah, she's waving, but obviously you can't see her, but
that's great.
All right, yeah, well, let's hop. My bad about that, but you know, it is what it is. This is how it goes. Yinka, my man, how's it going? Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah, man,
you?
it's good. You know, I had the weekend off of work this weekend, even though I'd still working, but you know, it's been good. You know, just getting a few workouts and just relaxing, watching a lot of Rocky movies last couple of days, actually. So I'm probably gonna,
man,
Yinka is
a new man. He is ready for this one-on-one with Miles. He is not playing.
Hey, yeah, watching Rocky, lifting weights. What's going on?
Tell you,
yeah,
Miles.
Man, it's inspiring though. Like, so obviously this movie, the first Rocky, was made in 78. So just watching the style of boxing that was happening there, obviously for purposes of the movie, but this man doesn't try to block. He rarely tries to evade. He just takes shots straight to the chin every single time, and it's obviously over dramatic, but it's,
and that's what's about to happen to you, right?
We ain't boxing right. We play basketball.
No blood, no foul, Prince.
Right?
See, that's what Miles is trying to let you know, that it's gonna be that kind of game.
Oh, I'm good with that, man. I'm good with that.
All right. I like it. Well, you know, gentlemen, it's been a fun ride thus far, but I feel like we need to jump right into this thing right here. So, you know, question of the day, the night is why is Yinka so racist?
I don't know, man. I just I don't know. Apparently, I just have some demons that I just need to work out and I need to figure out. And for those who aren't caught up, apparently wanting to get Stefon Diggs paid and ignoring the, I don't know, I guess hypocrisy that exists with those who don't want to get him paid because of the injury history. Put up a few tweets. Was it yesterday? 2 days ago? Yesterday?
Sometime in the last couple of days.
Yeah, about just, you know, I looked at Harrison Smith because he's been injured quite a bit in his career, and then Kyle Rudolph, and apparently that was putting forth an agenda, a race-related agenda. I was actually surprised.
You're racist.
I was surprised he didn't go like the whole Notre Dame route, but yeah, it was I'm a racist, so.
Yeah, stop talking about race so much.
I need to be better. I need to be better.
Be better. Okay, well, we got the, let's get to the real question. Because obviously, I mean, you know, you guys just had, you know, it was a big thing. You had some 4th of July action, which, you know, seemed like a lot of people were hurting with that middle of the week 4th of July having to go right back to work right afterwards there. But this is something that comes up a lot on Twitter that I just wanted to get some opinions on, because I feel like JR's opinion might be a little bit different than Miles and or Yinka's opinion. Maybe not Miles. Miles got roots that go down to the South. But JR, from your perspective, what qualifies as a barbecue?
Well, in North Carolina, we eat barbecue. We don't call events barbecues, though. Everything is a cookout down here, no matter what you cook.
So it doesn't matter what you cook. You throw some hot dogs on there, it's a cookout. But barbecue is just the food, slow and low, ribs, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Is barbecue. Well, the part of North Carolina I'm from, I've never heard the term barbecue besides the barbecue that you eat. Everything we call this called a cookout, no matter what.
Okay, all right, Miles. I guess, you know, round your way. What's barbecue? What's barbecue? Is barbecue just anything that comes off a grill, or is it kind of like JR saying, where you go and you're getting some, you know, some ribs or some brisket or something like that?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a combination. Where I think, you know, some people, not myself personally or my family, but like people who are grilling, they call it a barbecue. Don't ask me why, because I call it grilling. Or a cookout, you know, kind of one or the other, because I'm grilling food. I'm not barbecuing anything unless that's my plan is to barbecue something. So for me, we just call it grilling. You know, if we're having people over, hey, we're gonna grill out, you know, do something like that. If I'm gonna make barbecue, that's different, because then I'm actually doing something with barbecue related food. So
okay, Sexy Prince, how about you? Barbecue. What is barbecue? Kind of what JR described, where it's just the food, or I guess round your way is barbecue. Just anytime you have some people coming in your backyard to eat some food off the grill.
Yeah, it was pretty synonymous with cookout and whatnot. So, you know, oftentimes it would just be either be called a barbecue or be called a cookout. So, yeah, just a normal gathering of a lot of Black folk who, you know, they would be grilling and, you know, just lots of food and whatnot. So just kind of a get together.
Okay. All right. Well, we got some questions here, some other questions. We have our usual question, but we got some other questions that came in. We asked for some questions from the listeners, folks on Twitter. And so we have a couple here to run through. This first one here, kind of ironic since I was the one that was late today. Of the first 100 episodes, how many of them did Yinka make on time? JR.
Two.
You lying.
The first 75, it was rough.
Does that include this pod too?
I mean, Yinka was here on time today.
That's what I'm saying. Does that include this pod?
That's what I'm saying. The first 75 were rough.
He's been on a good streak lately, though.
He has. I'll give him that.
Okay. All right. Yinka, what's your number? I'll give you a chance to stand up for yourself before we move on to the next one.
Okay,
if you say 100%, I swear to God.
75 was a little bit of an exaggeration, but I would probably say I was on time for, I'll give myself like 35.
Okay.
I was on time for.
All right, that's not too crazy.
That's terrible.
I mean, yeah, but you know, hey, you know, yeah, you got to deal with what you got to deal with sometimes, you know? Artists and
artists, exactly. Artists are perpetually late, so.
Artists, they work on their own clock. All right, next one here from Eli Skull Seas. Have all four of you ever actually met in person at the same time? That's the easy one. I'm going with no.
No, we have not.
Me and Yankee are the only ones that I met.
Yeah. I met Miles for the first time last year. He was doing a podcast with Andy Carlson, and I saw that he was doing it. So, like, you know what? I'm just going to show up and just, like, actually meet him. So I met him that time. He's played flag football with me and whatnot. But I've never actually met JR and Jason in person.
Yeah, we're going to have to work that out. We have to work it out. You know, end of the season at some point so JR can see some snow.
We get snow like 10 times a year here.
And that's not snow, JR.
We get snow.
Like a little dusting of snow that's gone by the next
time. Shut down everything.
Nah, we got like 10 inches this year.
Like total.
Yeah. I mean, we don't get avalanches like you guys get.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, we got to work that out. We'll do a live recording of the show at some point, somewhere. I would imagine
if we can get a sponsor, we'll do it at the sponsor. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, holler at us if you want to. You know, sponsor the pod, pay for some tickets, get us together. We'll make that happen for you. Give you a shout out. Something. JR, keep working on Chipotle, man.
Trying to, man.
All right. Next question. This is an interesting one. We should probably have talked about this at some point here. What are your thoughts on the Diggs bar situation? Seems like we only get to keep one at this point. Should we give Diggs Landry money and let Bar walk? And that's from JT at JT Elliott 68 on Twitter. JR, I'll let you go first on this one.
My thoughts is the same as it's always been. I think Stephon Diggs should be the priority first, and then Anthony Barr should come second, because I think Diggs is more important to what we try to do offensively as opposed to what Barr does defensively, and that's not a knock against Anthony Barr. I just think Stephon Diggs' ceiling is a bit higher as a receiver than what Anthony Barr's role or potential is as a linebacker, and I think the world of Anthony Barr. I think a lot of fans ding him for improper reasons. I think he's a phenomenal player, but he's had some rough patches to this point, and I think he's overcome those rough patches. And on the opposite end of the spectrum, I think the world of Stephon Diggs too, and I think he's been phenomenal, and the whole injury thing gets overblown. And I just think he has elite potential, and we've already seen flashes of it to this point. So I would prioritize Stephon Diggs over Anthony Barr right now.
Okay. And I know kind of after the last, you know, pod, I think it was Matt who hit us up on Twitter, as he felt that we were disparaging the point of view of those who felt Adam Thielen should get paid. And Miles, I know you went into great detail to lay out the nuance of the position that you were really actually speaking to. So, Miles, as it pertains to Diggs, Barr, all of that stuff, if you could hop in, give us your thoughts, but also kind of, I guess, the more nuanced take around why Adam Thielen shouldn't be part of the conversation, and then why it is so important that we get Stephon Diggs locked in.
Yeah, I'll start with the Diggs bar scenario. I think Diggs should be the priority. I think them signing Eric Kendricks first kind of says something to where they feel there's more, I don't know if I'd say high-end upside, because I don't believe that, but I think they just see more of a solidified position for Eric Kendricks as the middle linebacker long-term, or at least, you know, in the linebacking group. Cause I know Zim has talked about in the past, Eric Kendricks might move positions. He just doesn't want to do it now. So who knows down the road. but I think, you know, Anthony Barr, his main skill set is rushing the passer. And like I said, on the last pod, if they're not really going to prioritize him doing that, I don't see him as he's a really good off ball linebacker, outside strong side linebacker. But I think he's best suited, unless you're going to use him in more creative ways in this defense, he's best suited, in my opinion, as a 3-4 outside linebacker. That doesn't mean I want him gone. Doesn't mean I don't want the team to re-sign him. I just think in terms of priority, in terms of upside, depending on how the Vikings want to use Barr moving forward, I think Diggs is already the solidified player. And I think, you know, he's proven he's a top 10 player at his position. He's still young. He's got all that upside still to go. So I just believe, and in terms of importance for what you need, and, you know, having a guy like Kirk Cousins signing, giving him all that money, he's going to need as many weapons as he can get. So I think the defensive side really has all those core pieces in place. And if you were to lose somebody, I think this defense could afford to lose a guy like Anthony Barr over the offense losing a guy like Stephon Diggs. So that's kind of my whole aspect of it. But then jumping back to the Adam Thielen situation, it's not about not paying Adam Thielen again, or you know, extending him after you know he got paid last offseason. Like I said before, he was in a tough situation. He took the best deal he was going to get from the Vikings last year, which I don't blame him for, because you know, you take the best deal you can at the time you can get it. But he didn't have any leverage at the time, so I know that coming into you know this last offseason, you know, he's got a lot of he doesn't have much leverage either, because he just signed an extension. Most teams, especially the Vikings, they're pretty prone on making those players, you know, at least have 2 years left on their contract. And I think, what is it? I think he signed a three-year deal at the time. And I think the first year the deal started, does it start this year or next or this last year? I can't remember. I don't have the stuff in front of me. But at the end of the day, I mean, Adam Thielen knows that he's not getting anything done now. Nothing's going to happen for him, you know, this offseason. He's going to play out the contract he has right now. If he has another big season, I definitely know the teams are going to have to, you know, address that situation again next offseason. But as of right now, it doesn't matter. It shouldn't even be a part of the conversation. I know for the Vikings front office, they'll probably be, you know, trying to figure out some numbers that they'd have to put together to give Adam Thielen a little bit more guaranteed money, you know, transfer some of that, all that good stuff. I know they're working that behind the scenes, but as fans and as us, it shouldn't matter, because nothing's going to happen until next offseason anyways. And anything could happen between now and then. You know, and I'm not talking like injury or anything, just in general, like anything could happen where the team might not want to benefit, wouldn't want to see themselves having to give him more money if they don't need to. Cause you know, by by the 2019 season, he's gonna be 29 years old. So, he's gonna be a little older. So I think the leverage is going to get lessened. So I understand Adam Thielen wanting to get paid now and wanting to get a little bit more money than he got last offseason, but he's in a tough situation just because, like I said, he got paid last offseason and he's only played 1 year since his new contract. It's really hard to justify as a front office to be like, hey, yeah, we'll give you more money already after one season. So I just think it's going to be tough for him to be able to do that. And yeah, I would like I said again, nothing's going to happen until next offseason. So I don't really think Diggs's contract is going to should have any impact on Adam Thielen right now. But next season, you can have those conversations.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think one of the other points that was made, I think it was JR who made the point a couple pods ago, is that, you know, if Adam Thielen was to hold out, he'd be justified in doing so, and that we'd support him if he didn't hold out, because that's the one bit of leverage players have in these type of situations, is their services, is their presence. And so it's one of those things. It's not a matter of not supporting Adam Thielen or not wanting him to get paid. It's just from a team perspective right now, they have him under control for another, is looking at it right now. They have him under control through 2020, right? So he doesn't need to be at the top of the list of priorities right now, with Stephon Diggs' free agency being so much closer and the cap number for the franchise tag to keep him in-house being so high. I think it was $16 million last year, and it's only going to go up next year. So I think that's really what it comes down to, is that, you know, they're both top 10 wide receivers. Many places have Stephon Diggs ranked a little bit higher. Diggs is younger. I mean, over the last two seasons, Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs have turned both Sam Bradford and Case Keenum into what look like top 10 quarterbacks. If that alone isn't enough for us to be able to understand their value, if you've seen the careers of Sam Bradford and Case Keenum before playing with those guys, I mean, it just feels like an open and shut case. From where I'm looking at, like, they made Sam Bradford look like a really good quarterback. They made career journeyman Case Keenum look like a top five quarterback in the NFL. Give those men all the money they need to keep them around for as long as they're still playing at that level. Yeah. Saxy Prince, I guess anything to add, since, you know, your conversations about Diggs and all these things did get you maybe accused of racism. So I guess, what were the finer points after people calmed down? I guess, what were some of the points you were making as you were talking through, you know, that piece? And you did mention kind of briefly as we were kind of joking through it or whatever, but you made some points about other players, be it Julio Jones, you know, Harrison Smith, Kyle Rudolph, other guys who early in their career did get nicked up, but, you know, the team invested in the talent, I guess. Can you walk us through the points you were making there and why you think that's such an important thing when it comes to how we discuss Stephon Diggs and what we're doing going forward with him and his contract?
Yeah, I mean, basically the mentality becomes, I mean, obviously when you're going to pay Stephon Diggs, I'm not saying that you need to ignore the injury history completely, because that is something that you kind of factor in when you're looking at that guaranteed money. You give him maybe less guaranteed money, but maybe you built more incentives in so he can still make that money back. But using the argument for the injury argument for Stephon Diggs was, in my opinion, just a little bit silly and a little bit misguided, because of the fact that Stephon Diggs is still performing at the same, if not better level as a lot of these guys in the league. But obviously he's not putting up the 1,000-yard seasons, the, 10 plus touchdowns, all that stuff. But if you were to, kind of extrapolate it and project it further, you would see that he's far exceeding, what he was throughout the season. So I just think when you look at the contract situation, these are things that GMs, they have to consider. You don't just look at, I'm going to let this talent walk because he hasn't had a 1,000-yard receiver. He wasn't a 1,000-yard receiver. I'm going to let this talent walk because he's not scoring 10 touchdowns. You have to look at it kind of holistically. And I think people are kind of looking at one aspect or one stat or, just kind of being a little bit misinformed with the way that they look at it. So, I mean, obviously, I don't think the Atlanta Falcons would ever consider letting Julio Jones go because he was such a dynamic player, Harrison Smith, you would never consider letting a guy like that go because he was such an important piece of the defense. And Stephon Diggs has proven himself time and time again to be such an important part of the offense. And I think if he wasn't, then yeah, you might have another conversation about letting him go. Or if there was another Stephon Diggs type wide receiver, yeah, you could have that conversation of, should we let him go? But really, Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, those are your top two guys. You let a guy like that walk, you have Adam Thielen. Adam Thielen gets injured. You don't really have anybody that you have a lot of confidence behind those two. And if you can admit that those two are performing at the same level, then, why not have two of those guys? Basically it just boils down to, I think that we just need to look at this thing more than just one or two talking points that we've been indoctrinated to believe, and look at it as a whole.
Yep. And as friend of the podcast, friend of the site, Luke Braun posted, I think it was earlier today, if not today, it was yesterday. Stephon Diggs has only missed 5 games really, like, due to injury or anything through the course of his career. So he was inactive for 3 games to start his rookie season, but so of the 45 games he was eligible to play, he played 40 of them, right? Like, and one of the points that I've made repeatedly, and I feel like it does Stephon Diggs almost a disservice when we talk about his potential, is that he's already considered by most, pretty much every service that evaluates players, to be a top 10 player at his position. PFF has him as a top 10 player. Bleacher Report's top 1000 had him a top 10 player. Football Outsiders ranks him as a top 10 player at the wide receiver position, which we know is immensely important to how your quarterback plays. So he's already a top 10 wide receiver talent. He's super young. Pay that man. And again, like, volume stats, I think if there's anything that tells us that volume stats are an overrated way to kind of look at or measure or evaluate the quality of a player, Jim Harbaugh has more career rushing yards than Bo Jackson. Does that mean he was a better runner than Bo Jackson? Of course it doesn't. It just means he played more games than Bo Jackson. So, like, Diggs has been incredibly efficient as a player. He's super young. Give that man his money. Any other points we need to make on that one, guys? You think we can move on?
Let's move on.
Yeah, pay Stephon Diggs. All right. Moving along here. JR, this next one is for you. And this actually came from the YouTube comments. Alien Adkins said, JR, are there any good prospects in the upcoming supplemental draft?
Oh, put me on the spot here. Yeah, but so there's 3 prospects that are probably the prize of this supplemental draft class. One of them is Sam Beal, cornerback from Western Michigan. Another is another cornerback named Adonis Alexander from Virginia Tech. And the last guy is Brandon Bryant from Mississippi State. Bill is probably the most talented of the bunch, or not probably, he is the most talented of the bunch. He probably would have ended up being a second-round pick if he would have declared this past year. A long, lanky corner, about, I think he measured at 6 foot, 180 pounds, so he's a bit light. But he does have that frame and that body size to where he can add 10 to 15 pounds easily, and I think he can eventually be a starter in the NFL. So it wouldn't surprise me if a team like the Browns used their extra third-round pick on him, or even a team like the Colts could use a second-round pick on him in a supplemental draft. There's a host of other teams that make sense for him as well. The Chiefs are definitely another team that comes to mind as well. And John Dorsey was actually at his pro day last week, I believe it was, along with all 32 teams there as well. So there's a lot of interest in Sam Beal from Western Michigan. He does have some rough patches in his year from last year. I think he ended up having – I think it's like a 32 quarterback rating on throws into his zone. So he did have an impressive year last year, but there was some rough stretches. I know the USC game was probably his best game. He ended up getting an interception off Sam Darnold. That was in the season opener last year. But after that, he kind of disappeared from time to time. And teams didn't really try him a whole bunch, but when they did, he did give up some catches here and there. But overall, he had a pretty good year for the most part. Adonis Alexander, he's listed as a corner, but I think he's a safety. He's about 6'2", right at 200 pounds, and he ran a 4.6 at his pro day. So he's a guy that's more of your cover three corner, like the Seahawks were made famous for in that mold, where they don't really play a lot of man-to-man. They play more zone, and he's definitely more of a zone corner. But I think he's probably better suited as a safety because of how good he is in run support. He's not scared to come downhill and put his face on ball carriers when they do have the ball in open space. And the last guy is Brandon Bryant, the safety from Mississippi State. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he does end up going undrafted, but I could see a team using a sixth or a seventh round pick on him. He's probably going to be mostly a special teams guy early on in his career, but he could eventually end up being a depth guy, maybe a second guy on the depth chart, backing up a high-end starter on the depth chart. He has some stiffness to him. That's the biggest thing about him right now. He's probably a liability in coverage right now, but he's a guy that's best suited in that rover or extra linebacker role. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he does end up being a wheel linebacker type of safety, a guy, he's not very dependable on the roof of a defense that can just play a sideline to sideline back there. He's more of a guy that's more comfortable in the box when he's asked to support against the run. That just seems to be where he's more comfortable. So Adonis Alexander, Sam Beal, and Brandon Bryant are the three prizes of this supplemental draft class, and it would surprise me at all if all three of those guys do end up getting drafted.
All right. Put you on the spot like you didn't already have all that stuff memorized, scouting these dudes probably for next year already. Okay. All right. Well, we got through the questions here. I feel like we need to have a little bit of fun. So, David, don't worry. We're not going to jump into full-on NBA talk right here. But, you know, there was some free agency, some things that happened. But we're going to do a little bit of conversation about it because I don't think we really had all those conversations just yet. But, okay, you know, last time we were here, we were wondering, you know, where LeBron was going to end up. Obviously, you know, as JR kind of spoke to, the Lakers were the name, I guess, the place that had the most buzz, the most steam around it. And that's where he ended up. But JR, I guess one of the things you did bring up when you were talking about LeBron going to the Lakers was, you know, LeBron maybe not wanting to play with all that youth, all those kids. But, you know, strangely, I mean, they brought in a couple pieces here and there, but it doesn't really seem like they've made those additional really bold moves that one would expect LeBron to typically make to round out a championship contender. I mean, they did bring in Finals MVP JaVale McGee. They did bring in Rajon Rondo and re-signed, was it Kentavious Caldwell-Pope?
Yeah.
LeBron James plus those free agents plus the players the Lakers already have now doesn't really feel like a championship-level team. What's going on with all that, man?
Nah, I mean, they understand that this next season is a wash. Nobody's going to beat the Golden State Warriors, especially after they added DeMarcus Cousins. And LeBron understands that this next year is basically just a waste. And they're planning for 2019. There's a host of free agents that's going to be on the market. They already have their eyes set on Kawhi Leonard, whether that's via trade prior to the season or prior to the All-Star break or once he becomes a free agent. So they're treating this next year basically like a waste. They're just going to play it out. That's why they're signing all these guys to one-year deals, because they're just place fillers for this year. But that really surprised me, because LeBron's career is winding down. I believe he's going to be 34 years old this upcoming season, and he's entering his 16th year. So he's chasing Michael Jordan right now, and he's really chasing Kobe right now too, as far as the rings, now that he's in LA. So I thought it was a strange move at first, but the more I thought about it, it makes sense, because they're planning for the long haul and they're trying to maximize that backstretch window of LeBron's career, and who knows who they're going to bring in 2019. So I'm interested to see what Magic Johnson and Pelinka put together after this season.
Yeah, man. And Kobe fans, they still really don't understand how to really process all this. You see old boy there who offered $300 for someone to go and deface the mural that was made in L.A. after LeBron showed up. And somebody actually went and did that. Went and vandalized that mural because, you know, LeBron can't be king in L.A. until he wins them something or something, says the Kobe fans. Which it's a wild time for folks in LA right now. They should be happy, but they don't want to be too happy.
Not too happy. It's a crazy situation, but it'll smooth over as the games play out, and once LeBron, everybody sees him in a Lakers uniform and see how good he's going to do.
Yeah, man, he's going to be great. And, you know, Miles Yinka, JR mentioned it there, but obviously got to get some reaction from y'all on the Golden State Warriors adding Boogie Cousins. I mean, it came at great cost because they did lose Finals MVP JaVale McGee. But they brought in Boogie Cousins. What are your thoughts on the addition of Boogie to the Golden State Warriors? And have you already written your angry letter to Adam Silver? And when will you be canceling your league pass?
I don't know. That team is broken, and it's been broken for the last 3 years. But I don't know. Like, I'm perfectly okay with them doing whatever they got to do. I mean, they can't remain that way forever, which is fine. I mean, I'm still going to watch this season, because when the thing is about the NBA is they sell us a really, really good product, right? It was so much fun watching. I mean, yeah, game 2, 3, and 4 wasn't as exciting, but that first game 1 between the Cavs and Golden State was a lot of fun. It was like so exciting. It was all back and forth. And even watching the Cavs going against the Pacers or, you know, anything else, they still produce a really good product for us. And I'm still going to watch this season. So, yeah.
Miles, how about you? You know, with the addition here of Boogie Cousins to the Golden State Warriors, does this change your opinion of the Golden State Warriors in any way? Do you think any differently of Boogie Cousins for going there versus going to LA with LeBron or any of the other destinations he could have gone to? I guess, what are your thoughts? What is your take on, this team that really doesn't seem to need to get stronger, continuing to go out and finding ways to make themselves even stronger year over year?
It doesn't bother me at all. I mean, what do they say? What do they tell teams? What do we always tell our teams, our favorite teams, to do in the offseason? Get better, right?
Yeah.
I know it's hard for us to justify the Warriors to getting better, but they upgraded over JaVale McGee with Boogie Cousins, and from the sounds of it, teams weren't offering Cousins any kind of money. So he went out of his way and said, all right, well, if y'all don't want to offer me some money, I'll just give the best team in the NBA a call and see if they're interested. And they, you know, like struck a deal on that, what, $5.3 million or whatever it is, the mid-level exception.
Stealing.
Yeah, and he won't have to do anything. He won't have to rush back from rehab. He won't have to do any of that. Like, he doesn't have to come back to work until, like, January. And it'll be like making a major trade during the season, or adding a free agent during the season or something crazy like that when they get him back. But he'll find his way onto that roster, and, you know, again, you know, during certain matchups, he's going to do his thing. And I think what he's going to be able to do with this is, you know, show his skill a little bit and be able to cash in next year. So I like the move for him personally, because, you know, who doesn't want to go win, whether it's quote unquote easy or not? Winning's winning, so he wants to go do that, and he wants to go have fun doing it. So why not go up to the Bay Area and have a good time with Curry, Durant, and those guys? So I'm all for it.
Yeah, man. I just got to meet all these people out there who wake up in the morning wanting work to be as hard as possible for the least amount of money they can be paid for. Like, I just don't understand that thought process. Like, I mean, I get some of it's just people hating, but I just, you know, I feel like when we talk about sports, like you said, all of us want our team to be the best possible team that we possibly could get. Especially, it's always weird coming from football fans, especially in the light of this whole conversation we're having around Stefon Diggs, where every year, every offseason, football fans are telling players they're selfish for wanting more money. They should take less money to play on a winning team, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But then guys go and take less money to play on winning teams, and we're mad about it. Mostly, I guess, because it's not our team. I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense.
Oh, yeah.
If winning is the most important thing, then they should be doing any and everything they can do to win, which is what they're doing. Be mad at your team for not doing those things instead of being mad at them for executing on those things because they're trying to win. And in most cases, sacrificing financially to win, which is what you say you want all your athletes to do. So I don't know. Anywho, let's have a little bit of fun here, though. So we're going to try to go through this thing here real quick. JR posed the question, I think, on Twitter at some point over the last week. You know, what would an NFL super team look like? So we're going to do a quick draft here, and we're each going to try to build a super team out of available players in the NFL. So we're going to have one quarterback, one running back, three wide receivers, one tight end, and then you just get the full offensive line unit for a team. So, Miles, you know, you got the first overall pick here. Lead us off here. Who are you picking?
I hate to do it, and you know I hate to do it, but I got to take him. I'm taking Aaron Rodgers with my first pick just because he's the best QB in the league.
Okay. All right. I mean, you know, you're not making any friends on this here podcast making the Aaron Rodgers pick, but, you know.
I know. I'm not happy about it.
It makes sense. Saxy Prince, man. Pick number two. What you doing here, man? Who are you picking?
You know – I was going to pick Aaron Rodgers if Miles didn't go that way. But I think that this guy's a stud. Also, he's still fairly young within the league. I know that we have a few guys that are on their way out, you know, the Aaron Rodgers or the Tom Brady's, the Drew Brees, but I'm gonna go with another guy. I'm going to pick Russell Wilson as my quarterback. Going to go there. Cause I think that he is very, very special and he has had to do a lot with very little.
I'm not happy with you right now. That's all I'm going to say. JR, who you picking, man? Who you picking?
Trust this dude to come back strong from injury. He probably would have been the MVP of the league if he didn't get hurt. So I'm going with Carson Wentz.
Okay. Well, I thought you were about to say Deshaun Watson there, JR.
I could have went Deshaun Watson. Either one.
Okay. Well, you know. My man started throwing high school footballs just the other day. And I think because he's been away from the game for a little while, folks forgot how cold Andrew Luck really is when he's out there. The Colts seem to be getting on the right track. So I'm going with Andrew Luck as my quarterback here.
I'm disappointed and surprised by that one.
Me too.
Know, hey. Andrew Luck, and you know, the 1 year of data I had for him, he was he played well above the level of people that he had around him, which is what I look for in my franchise quarterback. Yinka stole, you know, my number one, but I'm going to go with Andrew Luck, number two. All right, we're back around to you, Miles. Pick number two. Who are you going?
Yeah, this is a tough one just because there's so with this super team, is this just for 1 year? Is that kind of like the idea of it?
This is, you're building your team that you want to be like the Golden State Warriors, where you get to sustain success over the next 4, 5, 6.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
I'm going Odell Beckham Jr. with my next pick. That was too easy.
Yeah. You know, that really was too easy for you right there. Okay. Saxy Prince, what you doing?
Yeah, man. I'm going to go with Antonio Brown, give Russell Wilson the caliber of wide receiver that he's never had. So I'm going to go there.
All right, JR, how about you?
Dare slander Doug Baldwin, by the way.
Oh,
no, it's not Doug Baldwin saying it, but you really think Doug Baldwin and Antonio Brown are the same caliber of wide receiver?
It's for another pod. It's for another pod, guys. Okay. Keep this. JR, who you going with?
See, I'm going to switch it up a little bit here.
Uh-oh.
I think y'all reaching on these receivers a little bit. We can find some good receivers. I'm going with Baquon Barkley, baby.
Ew, you can have that.
Baquon.
Yinka?
Oh, that, Yinka. That is good. Yinka, that is that... surprising, sir.
Yo, you're destroying draft commandments, JR. Like,
Yinka, I'm good. That...
Yinka, how did you get into JR's feed and start sounding like JR? That's very strange.
I'm going with Saquon Barkley.
Okay.
I'm going with the young stud right away to pair him with
Carson. I'm going to get a top five running back with, like, my last pick.
Yeah, man, do you. After y'all, okay. Well, I'm going to go with the – thank you. Thank you, by the way. I'm going to go with DeAndre Hopkins. Thank you, JR, for leaving him out there for me.
I thought I was about to get that one, too.
Hey. Stop being greedy. Miles, back around to you. Who you got next?
Yeah. I think this is somewhat easy. I think I'm gonna go Michael Thomas with this one.
I thought you were gonna go somewhere else with that one. I thought you would go with your man right there. I thought he was going with his man.
I thought about it, but Michael Thomas is legit, and I think the way they can play off each other, Odell and Michael Thomas, I'm all for it.
Okay, all right. Saxy Prince, what are you gonna do then?
Yeah,
I gotta think about running backs now.
No, I'm not actually. I'm actually still surprised that he picked a guy. So let's see. Sorry, let me take a look at who y'all have picked so far, so I don't do any repeats.
Come on now. You're on the clock.
You're on the clock, man. You gotta be ready when you're on the clock.
I'm gonna go with Julio Jones as my second wide receiver.
Okay. Julio.
I like it.
Trying to balance out.
Inka's going all in for 2018.
All in, baby. We winning.
All right, JR, what you doing?
I'm gonna break Miles' heart right here.
Okay.
Gonna go with Keenan Allen, baby. Keenan Allen.
Y'all know that was going to be my pick, too, if he came back around. I couldn't pass him up again.
All right. Decisions. Well, you know, we kind of see how these things go here, where the tight end position is kind of a cheat code if you have, you know, a top-level guy. So I'm going to go ahead and get a break off the wide receivers here. Go with some Travis Kelce. Because, you know, Gronk might be retiring and stuff.
Oh, man. Where do I go? Yeah, I don't even know what route I want to go. I got Odell. I got my G-threatening Odell, my do-it-all-in Odell. I got Michael Thomas, my big possession guy. Oh, man. You know what? I'm going to go with my burner. I'm going to get my burner in there. I'm going to go T.Y. Hilton.
Whoa. Okay. I like it.
Wow.
I got to spread it out a little bit.
Wow. That is surprising.
Okay. Saxy Prince, what you doing, man?
Yeah, man. I really like what I have going here because I feel like you guys are not going to be able to stop my offense. So I'm going to go with another dude that we were just talking about on the pod tonight. I'm going to go with Stephon Diggs.
My third wide receiver.
Go, my guy. You ain't stopping that wide receiver.
That looks pretty good there. JR, what you going with next, man?
So, you know, I've been taking some wild cards here. We reached for a running back a little bit, but we feel good about that. I'm going to go with Josh Gordon right here.
Woo! Okay.
I'm going to bet on him staying clean, and we're going to pair him with Keenan Allen.
Hey, well. JR's picking first. No. All right here. Well, I'm gonna go with a veteran here, a little underrated veteran. But I'm gonna go with my man AJ Green. Bring him out, get him on the squad here. So
that's always a good pick.
AJ stays slept on, but he's still doing his thing out there. Miles, you back up, man.
Yeah, I got my three receivers and my quarterback, so I think I'm gonna run to the tight end positioning. I'm going to snag Zach Ertz. That was a pretty easy pick here for me.
Okay, Zach Ertz, Saxy Prince.
Dang, Miles. Let's see. Who do I want? I was going to think about getting a tight end here. But because my wide receiver crew is just so good, I am going to – I think I'm going to go running back, y'all. I think I'm going to go running back.
Of course.
And the guy – who do I want, though? I mean, there's so many options out there, y'all.
Adrian Peterson? Okay, let's get that done.
All right. I'm going to go with – oh, I'm going to go – I know who I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with Mr. Todd Gurley from L.A.
All right. JR, you back up, man.
So I need my tight end here, and I need a guy that's going to stretch the field. Jason, you already got your tight end, but I'm still going to break your heart right here. I'm going to go Evan Engram.
Woo, okay. So you just don't want Saquon to have any blocking or anything, but, you know, Evan Engram, all right.
We all right, man. We good.
You good? You good? You know, blocking is overrated anyway. Go ahead and get
a lot of 11 personnel with them flexed out.
Best weapon to come out of Ole Miss in quite some time right there at Evan Engram.
Shots fired.
Oh, what? Who, what, where? all right. Well, you know, I'm going to go with another guy here who I think is, you know, is tragically underrated based on, you know, the pedigree he had coming out and what's going to happen to him over the last couple of seasons. But I'm going to go ahead and add Amari Cooper to my squad here.
Ooh, okay.
You know, I'm like really disappointed in you, Jason. Like, I thought,
who did you think was coming off the board there, Miles?
Not Amari Cooper.
I'm sorry, bro. Hey.
I'd take Devonta Adams over Amari Cooper any day.
Ew. Ooh, no.
I don't know about that.
You know, I like efficiency, Miles. And
Amari Cooper? You're talking about efficiency? You say Amari Cooper?
He's got Derek Carr. One's got Aaron Rodgers. You know, Aaron Rodgers has been known to make a wide receivers. One counting stats Derek look
Carr,
okay. One
had Derek Carr in college.
Derek Carr's terrible. Terrible. Anyway, you're up. You're up, man. If you would like to pick Devonta Adams, I mean, you know.
I can. I can.
You can't. Yeah, I mean, you had some opportunities to take him, but, you know, he's there. He's still on the board.
Yeah, I'm going to make this easy on myself. I'm going to go to the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line.
Okay.
What did I tell you? I'm going to get a top five running back with my last pick.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yinka, where are you going, man?
Yeah, I mean, Miles keeps jumping where I'm trying to go, but I was going to go offensive line too. I'm going to go with the Dallas Cowboys offensive line.
Okay. All right. All right. JR, what you got, man?
So we need a final piece to complete this wide receiver core, and we're ecstatic this guy is still on the board because I need a burner. We're going to take the cheetah, Tyreek Hill, right here.
Ooh. Okay. Special teams.
They are going with the most boom bust lineup of all time.
Ever.
Of all time. All
don't
right.
Don't care about red flags, baby.
All right. Well, I'm gonna go with the Tennessee offensive line. Just, you know, I need that. All right, Miles, bring us home. Who are you taking as your running back here in the final round of this year's Super Team Draft?
I think this is the hard pick for me because it's between three guys, but.
Do it, Miles.
Really good guys available still. Because Jason, this is you too. You got to get a running back.
Yeah.
I just got to make sure I see who those guys took. He took Barkley. I'm likely going to go here. I think I'm going to go. Oh, man.
Do it, Miles. You know what you want to do.
I'm going to go Alvin Kamara.
Ooh, okay.
I'm gonna do the do-it-all guy. I thought about David Johnson, but he's a little older. I said I'll take the younger guy.
Okay. All right, all right. Saxy Prince, where are you going?
I know we made the joke, but, like, whatever. I'm going all in for 2018. He's still going to be around, in my opinion. I'm going to go with Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
A.K.A. Gronk. Around on my team.
My team's still beating you this year, but
JR, where are you going next?
So I'm gonna go with the Steelers offensive line here. Need to get an offensive
That's
line.
A good pick.
Yeah, see, it's a very good pick.
All right. And then, you know, gotta stay on brand. Make the last pick overall a running back.
You could have got Amari Cooper here too.
It's possible, you know. But I'm gonna get David Johnson here and I'm gonna be okay. So, you know, I'm going to go with David Johnson. And, yeah, I am happy with that selection. I didn't know you had such hate in your heart for Amari Cooper. What do you do to you, Miles?
I like Amari Cooper. I just think he's overrated.
What do y'all have against how did Le'Veon Bell go undrafted?
We're trying to build a team for the next couple of years. He's got too much tread.
Man, I figured Le'Veon Bell was still going to be available, and he was on the board for me. I was like, I kind of like Todd Gurley. But so that's why I went with him.
He's just going to hold out for me, too, and I'm like, I'm cool, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I like me some Le'Veon, but, you know, I feel like David Johnson has been able to do more with less around him. So,
y'all got them old dudes on y'all team, too. We young, man. Whole team is 25 and under almost.
I mean.
We're good.
Okay.
I got a fairly young team outside of Julio's older.
How old is Todd Gurley?
Like 24.
24?
Yeah.
He's young.
Yeah. I mean, that's old for a running back, yo.
Yeah, it is.
Stop.
I mean, it is.
I mean, did you get David Johnson? Did you get David Johnson?
He's on the wrong side of the age apex. He was an old prospect. So is Le'Veon.
He's hurt, too.
Most running backs, you know, they score the majority of their points on the early side of actually 25. It's not really 30. Start to fall off the cliff.
Ty Gurley is 23. I feel like he's been in the league forever.
Oh, man. Yeah. I'm good then. My squad.
We'll all right, well, we got that done. We'll let the people vote, see what they think about how these teams came together here. And next thing we got going on here. Cam Chancellor, unfortunately, is retired from the National Football League. Neck injury knocked him out. And a rapid reaction for you here. You know, quick answers. Not a lot of, you know, really justification required. Cam Chancellor, JR, Hall of Fame, yes or no?
This is tough for me. I'm going to say no. I just don't think his career was long enough. He only played 8 years. And, I mean, he was very monumental to that defense. And, I mean, he changed the monuments of the safety position. And I just don't know, man. It's tough. I think he'll eventually get in, but first ballot, no. But for me right now, I would say no.
Okay. Miles, how about you?
No.
Okay. Wow. Sexy Prince.
I want to say, based on our standards, no. But I think because he was part of the Legion of Boom, he might get in.
Okay, so that's a good segue.
I'll say yes. That's a good segue there
because, you know, I mean, it gets tough when you start looking at those defensive players and all that. I guess, JR, we'll just go right back down the row again here. How many members of the Legion of Boom do you think will get into the Hall of Fame?
Three. Earl Thomas, Sherman, and Chancellor will eventually get in. The other two will be first ballot.
Okay. All right. Miles, how about you?
I'd say two. Like I said, I don't think Cam Chancellor gets in. I know stats aren't everything, but the dude's got 12 career interceptions.
Okay. Saxy Prince, how about you?
I say all three.
All right, I'm going to go with two. I think it's Sherman and Earl Thomas, for my money, are the ones that get in. I think it'll be tough for Cam Chancellor. Just, you know, there's a backlog. And, you know, like Miles said, it's not everything, but those stats aren't that, you know, the Hall does look at volume stats. I think they've made that pretty abundantly clear, and his aren't that great. So I guess we'll see. All right. Next thing here that we wanted to cover on this one here. You know, obviously T.O. made some folks real upset when he said he wasn't going to go to the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. JR, what was your reaction when it came out that T.O. was going to do his Hall of Fame acceptance speech at UT Chattanooga?
I mean, it didn't surprise me. That's just who T.O. is. He loves the spotlight. He loves making things about himself. And he still has a vendetta against the committee for not making him a first ballot Hall of Famer. So he wanted to make the event about him as opposed to going to the actual Hall of Fame event. And, I mean, I don't have a problem with it. Those guys make the Hall of Fame. He should be able to express it however he wants to, wherever he wants to make the speech at. It'd be great if he was there, but he decided not to. So it is what it is. And I'm sure people will be tuning in and watching it regardless.
And do we expect T.O.'s speech to be more petty or less petty than Michael Jordan's Hall of Fame acceptance speech?
It's probably
more petty.
More petty. Yeah.
More petty.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Miles, what are your thoughts?
I don't really care. Like, I like T.O., but I mean, like JR said, like, I mean, he's just trying to do this for himself. Like, he just wants to bring more attention to him, to himself, and make this about him instead of the collective group of people going to the Hall of Fame. And he's trying to make it, you know, trying to put, trying to shove it to the NFL, which isn't going to work. So, I mean, it is what it is. I'm off, like, you know, you go be you. That's who he is. I mean, trying to break status quo and all that, but nah, I'm not, I don't really care.
Okay. Bring us home, Sexy Prince. What are your thoughts?
I mean, he's a wide receiver, so I don't expect anything less than this. So that's all I had to say about it. I don't really care like Miles very much.
Boy, Miles, you just gonna let him talk about your people like that? Or I mean,
he's right.
Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah. I just wanted to hear you admit that, you know, y'all didn't need this. All right. I'm glad you were honest there. Glad you were honest. All right. Last thing here. I mean, JR and you know, I think we all shared this at some point throughout the day that Russell Okun put it out here. But JR, you put it in the show notes as something you wanted to have a quick conversation about here. Yeah, I guess guaranteed money thread that he put out there where Russell Okun is really talking about, you know, how in situations like this, and we're seeing it again play out with the Stephon Diggs thing here, where the fans seemingly or tend to side with the billionaires who don't put their kind of their bodies or lives on the line for the game over the players. And just kind of broke down some of the things, the accounting rules they use to keep money out of the pockets of the players, et cetera, et cetera. So I guess, you know, with this being something that you kind of you'll put in here, I guess, what were the things that really stood out for you and what he said in terms of the way fans react to players wanting to get paid, but also some of the strange, I guess we'll say, accounting things that happen that allow teams in the NFL in general to keep money out of the pockets of the players?
Yeah, I skimmed through it real quick. So I really don't remember a whole bunch about it, but some of the stuff that really did stick out was just him explaining how they got ran over in the CBA and that things need to change in the next CBA. And if they don't, nothing's going to change in the future. And it's so hard for NFL players or football players in general to get these guaranteed contracts because the game is so rigorous. And that's the same way that the owners see it, but there's just a different way that they need to see that. And maybe they need to have more protection just because of how violent and how insecure the game is at the time. So that was just really the biggest thing that stuck out to me, just him trying to fight to get that guaranteed money like those NBA and other sports gets as well.
Yeah, Miles, I guess what were your thoughts as on everything that he put in there in terms of, you know, guaranteed contracts? You know, obviously Kirk Cousins got himself one and so showing that it's possible. I guess anything stand out for you in terms of kind of all the detail that he laid out there about, you know, what the players really need to do and just the general state of the league player dynamic that he outlined?
Yeah, I mean, I agree 100% with him. I mean, it'd be frustrating for them. I think the biggest thing holding them back is the amount of, you know, players in the NFL compared to, you know, Major League Baseball, hockey, and basketball, of course. So I think that's the biggest hurdle and obstacle that they're going to run into, just the amount of people and how much leverage, I guess, they're overall going to have until the CBA, the new CBA. But I agree 100% with what he's saying. I think, you know, the players need more security in their lives than what they're getting.
And I know you got some opinions on this, Saxy Prince. I guess what were your thoughts on what he broke down for us?
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely do. And I think this starts all the way back to, you know, college athletes and stuff, and it goes all the way to NFL. Like, a lot of people just, like, don't realize that more NFL players are – they're not millionaires. A lot of them are making veteran minimums. They're not really making that much. You hear about – you only really hear about the guys, yeah, who are making the – tens of millions of dollars or even a couple million, but there's so many players who are on practice squads or on the cusp that don't have big contracts at all that, you know, are still making pennies. You have rookies that are not making very much money. So I'm all for guaranteeing all player salary. I think it would change the makeup of the league. I think teams would take less chances on a guy who's really not performing over and over again, but his name has allowed him to get more and more money, Sam Bradford. But with guaranteed money, you would have to, you know, you would have to make harder decisions when it comes to certain players. I think it would also help out balance out this thing with, you know, this kind of balloon that we're seeing with quarterbacks and stuff. But No, I'm all for guaranteed money for NFL players.
I knew you were going to throw something about the quarterbacks. Quarterbacks might still be underpaid relative to their ability to have their team win. I mean, it's true. What you'd actually want to see happen is like, say, an Aaron Rodgers.
I want him to break.
To get paid what he's actually worth.
Yeah,
so there's actually a difference, like a appreciable difference between the top end of the quarterback market and everybody else versus just the incremental change. You know, as a Vikings fan, we want Aaron Rodgers and his people to look at how much Kirk Cousins got paid and be like, oh no, y'all got to give me way more than that.
And then fully guarantee that.
Because that hurts the Packers' ability to field a team around Aaron Rodgers, which would be good for us. So, yeah, but the big point in there, I just thought was, it's funny. NFL is the most popular sport in America by far, but it's the sport in which the players have the least amount of leverage, the worst CBA, the worst contracts, even though it's the most violent and the shortest one. And the owners just use it against the players, I think, anytime they go into the CBA situation, because guys don't want to risk one of the maybe, 3 years that they have to play in the league on a lockout. So the players crack and the league will make up stuff, make up issues, make the big fight about Roger Goodell and player discipline and things like that, when the fight really needs to be all about the money and making sure they get all that money and a larger share of the money going to the people who are actually making the money for the league overall. So it's a great thread. It'll be in the show notes. If you haven't checked it out, you definitely should. And if you have thoughts on it, definitely hit us up either on Twitter, YouTube comments, or wherever else you might want to hit us up to give us your thoughts on, how things are, NFL contracts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that's it. That's everything that we had in the notes that we wanted to cover. No, JR is not really working anything right now because, he's got, more important things to, on the horizon. Miles, Yinka, anything about which we should be aware that you guys have coming down the pipeline? Anything you're working on? What's going on with y'all?
I'll be on with Andy tomorrow for Purple for the Win. So that'll come out on Tuesday.
Nice, nice, nice. Sexy Prince, you going to crash the party again, or are you going to be back in classes?
Yeah, I'm back in classes, so I'll probably be out for the next couple weeks. But it being our 100th episode, I did want to try to do something, some kind of giveaway sponsored by the Climb the Pocket. Guys, help me out. What's a question or something that we can ask people to DM me with a response?
Why are you so racist? No. How many times did Yinka watch Black Panther in the theater?
That's a good one. There you go. How many times did I watch Black Panther in the theater? If the first person to give me an answer, I'll figure out what the prize is, whatever. But we'll get you something really nice.
Cool, 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 cool. Well, all right. Again, this is episode 100. It's been a lot of fun doing all these episodes thus far. Listeners, thanks for riding with us this far. And we'll talk to you guys soon. Have a good one.